Hey, 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 it's your girl Esther UA, and you are listening to the Godversations Podcast. Hey guys, hi people, how's everybody doing? Welcome back to Conversations with Esther UA. I can hear everybody in their heads right now saying, finally. I hear you guys loud and clear. We're here. And yeah, that's basically it. We're here now. I'm just going to jump right into what I'm talking about today. Kind of a story time, kind of notes. But you get the drill as soon as we start. I put up a little snippet on my Instagram, and that was actually because I'm doing this thing with my friend now. We were praying for the president of Nigeria, and we're praying for other leaders, and it's just been so revealing, you know, going on the whole process of sharing it with people, inviting people to do this with us, and getting a lot of hostile comments. At first, when my friend Yura told me that, oh, people have been giving her negative comments, I was like, which people? Please, please, please. Until I posted it on my WhatsApp, and I was like, okay. These people, all of us have them, you know. But it just occurred to me that we do not realize when, you know, bitterness really, really makes it impossible for us to even pray for people and talk to God about them. You know, what's prayer? Honestly speaking, you can talk to God about anybody, whether you like them or not. You can talk to God about people that you don't like. Are you guys aware? I mean, I go around saying, telling people that I'll report it to my daddy, I'll report it to my daddy, and the I'll report it to my daddy is God I'm talking about. If I take your matter to God, you know you're in trouble. So even people that have, you know, cause you harm or whatever, there is a way to take the matter to God and to report them to your daddy. But when you can't even open your mouth and talk to God about the person, then you know that there is a problem, and that problem now is on your part, you know. Because one thing that God has been teaching me is that if there's nobody that is so bad that I cannot love them, then there's nobody that's so bad that you can't love them either. And let me even jump right into the story first. I've already started sharing, but I want to introduce to you the perfect relationship, friendship, relationship, colleague, whatever. It starts off seemingly okay, maybe not even perfect, just okay. You know, you guys are cordial, then you guys get stronger and closer, your friendship intensifies, and then there is that point where it all goes wrong. And for me, after that point, it just kept on getting worse and worse and worse. So this person in question, my really close friend, and then all of a sudden we fell out for whatever reason. And okay, we just fell out now, no problem. People used to fall out now, eh? No problem. But it kept on getting, it was like, you know, when you dig a hole and then you're digging the hole and you're going in with the hole, and it's getting worse, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting messy, and it's like you're burying yourself. That's literally what was happening. So it kept on getting worse and getting worse. Trust issues, it was there. Improper communication, it was there. Now, talking about this, right? There is a topic of dealing with conflict resolution, how to deal with relationship issues. And at the time when I was going through this, I did not even have 40% of emotional intelligence. So obviously, and I don't think the other person had up to 40% either. So obviously it was a whole mess. But God is so merciful, God is so faithful, you know, that now we're wiser, we're better. But I'm not even here to talk about the mistakes that we made and the mistakes or the mistakes that the other person made. What I'm here to talk about is moving on from that situation. Getting to the point where the two people cannot even talk to each other again. Two people do not even trust themselves to have a cordial conversation or a loving conversation, because that's where I'm even going soon. And bear in mind, these are two children of God. These are two Christians, you know. So how do you get up from that place? And how do you get to a place of restitution and a place of caring for that person again? I think that we have all had a similar experience. Or we can all say that we've had a relationship that has gone so sour, we just do not want to talk about it, or we don't want to deal with the situation again. But one day God spoke to me, and God said, when I told you to be at peace with all men, I meant all men. I did not mean the ones that did not do you dirty, or the ones that did you dirty, they are not parts, they are inside all men. The ones that do not do you dirty, they are inside all men. The ones that you would rather not, they are inside all men. You have to be at peace with all men. And I said, I'm at peace now. I see this person every day, you know, in school. I smile at this person. When everybody's laughing at their jokes, me too, I contribute laughter. When everybody's talking, me too, I talk, you know. And God says, I'm not talking about the peace that you've pretended to yourself or the peace that you've sold yourself. I'm talking about the peace that I give, the peace that is perfect, okay? Because when you have a fallout with somebody, it's so easy to put on a show, especially for me. Like me, if I have a problem with somebody, right? Trust me, the whole world will never know if I want it that way. The person might not even know. And that was one thing that God was convicting me of, you know. I have a way of dealing with it. Like, I haven't sorted the thing out in my heart, but I've moved on physically. The person might never even know that there's a problem. And God is like, the peace I'm talking about is not the outward peace. Like, everybody looks at you and they're like, okay, these people, they're at peace. No, it's the peace that I know you're lacking. It's the peace that only you knows if you have it or not, right? The peace that is inward, that flows from the inside out. And so I said, Lord, I don't like where you're going with this. Little did I know. I didn't even know where he was going. But I could see already that it was going to be a journey. And it was a journey. It was a journey that started in a scripture. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 to 8. And I'm going to read that scripture because after I now accepted that, okay, I'm not at peace with this person, because there is a storm in my heart. It's raging. Okay? And it's only you that sees it, God, and it's only you that can help me. God told me, okay, so this is where we're gonna start from. We started from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 48. Let me clear my throat because it's gonna be an interesting read. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So if you have this, then you might just want to read along with me. Love endures with patience and serenity. He said, Esther, draw your ear. This is what he said. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails, it never fades nor ends. But as far as prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away. And so God said, Esther, why am I teaching you about love? I said, because you're love. When I tell you, I could not even talk. And God said, okay, so now you've seen me, right? You've seen me, but do you know that when you look at me, you should see you as well? So if I'm love and you are my child, it is my blood that is in your veins. We share the same DNA. Then you are love too. And if these are the attributes of love, then that should be the same attributes that can be found in you. So you should mirror me, you should mirror love, and that love should flow outward. Guys, God was loud. He wasn't. This is not the whisper. This is not the whisper. God was loud. He was shaking my table. So the journey started with me understanding who love was, what love was about, and my part to play in the grand scheme of love. And it was a journey where I saw myself doing things that I would not do. And it wasn't because Esther was just deciding to do these things. It was because Esther was no more. Now, what was in place of Esther was love. Right? I remember one day talking, and I'm bringing this up because these are things that actually happened to me. I was talking to my friend one day, and we're talking about something totally different. I was explaining to her when God said, when the Bible says that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, blah, 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 blah. And I was going on and on, and the Holy Spirit just stopped me right in my tracks. And he was like, Esther, what if I asked you to be the foolish thing? What if I asked you to look so stupid in front of everybody else, but you would do what I tell you to do? And that day I was convicted because I wasn't ready. You know when you're really not ready to receive holy shade? I was not ready. But in this situation, I had to be ready. He said, this will test you because you will lose everything that you knew yourself to be. And it's all in a bid to make you more like me. It's all in a bid to make you perfect. It's all in a bid to, you know, cleanse you. And to take away every form of bitterness, every form of anger, every form of everything. And I love it because God told me, look at all these things that the Bible is showing you that love is. He said, love can be many things, but never bitter. Love doesn't hold on, you know. And so this is how we started. Obviously, we'll start by praying for this person. And the prayer is not the prayer that you will be frowning face and praying because God says you should pray for the person. Prayer is the prayer that you will go sincerely and say, you know what, Jesus, I've been hurt. I've been treated unfairly. And to be fair, I've treated this person unfairly too. You know, I've stabbed and I've been stabbed. You know, I've lost trust for this person and they've lost trust for me. But I love this person and I just want there to be a heart change, a heart switch. I just want there to be a complete turnaround, a complete restoration. I just want everything to be okay. You know those prayers that you can't even find in English? You can't even find English because of the gravity of the weight that is in your heart. But we started from there and God said, okay, we're starting from here. And I had to be very, very intentional with my actions. So the next thing God told me was that now you cannot involve yourself in certain conversations. Because I'm just going to be 100% real with you guys. I mean, I was talking to my friends about the situation a lot. I dragged my friends into it. The first thing God convicted me of was, you're talking to people, you're not talking to me about this problem. But okay, no problem. So I had dragged my friends into it and I had an army of ladies that loved me, that supported me, and were also very upset about the injustice that was being done. And these ladies are my day ones. But God convicted me and said, you have dragged people into this. You have to also go and meet these people and tell them that, listen, I believe a seed has been planted and I want that seed to be uprooted. And when there is conversation about this person in particular that has done you this bad thing and people are talking about it, you have to take yourself out of that situation, Esther, because you know there is a trigger. You know that already you're upset up towards this person. Your position, you know, and your posture towards this person is bitterness. So don't even aggravate the situation. Just step away. So I remember telling my friend one day, a guy in question did something and everybody was talking. And I remember telling my friend, I said, Snuke, you know that me, I could not even put my mouth inside because I've made an agreement to God. And it was just funny, so that, yeah, I didn't even expect you to enter and everything. So that was it. We started by praying for the person. We started by intentionally stepping away from things that would trigger memories of past hurts, because you're trying to heal. You're not trying to bring up, you know, stuff that you should bury. or you should let it die normally. Okay, we're not trying to revive bitterness. So no problem. Step three is now communication, being honest and being sincere with this person. And now even this step three, there was a lot of conflict about it because I was doing a lot of prayer, I was doing a lot of research, I was doing a lot, and there was a space where God says, you know what, step away from this situation entirely, step away from this relationship entirely for some time, for your sanity, for your sanctity, for your mental health. And that period was very necessary, and that period was helpful to just heal and to just take a breath, you know, just take a breather, take a deep breath, just step back and take a breath, you know. And there was that period, and that period, honestly speaking, it really, really broke me. One thing I learned from that period, so this should be step three actually, one thing I learned from that season of just stepping away was that you can get familiar with your bitterness, you can get familiar with the pain and anger, you can get familiar with being upset, you can get so comfortable in that space that when you're asked to step away, it breaks you. Like, you don't want to let go. You don't want to let go of your feeling of anger. Like, you don't want to let go of always being, always having to react to something, you know. And it's a trick. The devil is a liar. So the first day that I knew for sure that I had to step away and I had to, you know, break seemingly the ties that were in my mind, when I tell you I broke down, it was terrible. I broke down. I was in the bathroom and I was crying. I was wailing. I was crying to God, and it was messy. It was messy. And of course, love can be messy, but never bitter. So that was step three. Step four, guys, was coming back and addressing the elephant in the room. Slaying the giant. Like, facing this thing head on and saying, you know what, devil, I've dealt with you and I will deal with you again. And just communicating with this person, talking about things that had gone wrong, apologizing for the things I did wrong, and asking for apologies for the things that I felt like were done wrong towards me, and having difficult conversations that needed to be had. And that part, honestly speaking, it was tough. Oh, it was tough. But when I got the hang of it and when I figured out that it was very necessary, I think it became easier and easier. And I feel like at that moment God was just proud of his children, because it was legit like a year. I'm giving people some real I'm giving you guys summary. It was a journey of having people pray with me, having people pray over me. It was a journey. But you know, when you get to that point, now I can come out on conversations and say that I am at a point with this person where we're cordial with each other, we're friends, we pray together, study together, work together. And there isn't, if I mean, are there times that the devil reminds us of a past that is so broken, a past that is so faulty, a past that is so dysfunctional? Yes. Yes, yes, a million times yes. Are there times when our bodies naturally just react to, you know, things that have happened before? Yes. But now we have a truth, and that truth is Jesus. Now we know that we can tap into the love. You know, it's just like having a reality and a false reality. And the reality is love. There's no doubt about that. Like, my reality is love, right? The false reality is what the devil brings to dangle in front of you. Like, look here, you did this and he did this. And we're like, no, calm down, devil. There's love here now. And so this is just to say to anyone out there who is dealing with something similar, it's definitely going to be a process. But God is in the business of filling us completely with his love, cleansing us and removing everything that is not supposed to be in his love. And can I just say that God's love is pure? It is so pure. It is so, so, so pure. So there isn't a speck of anything different. There's not a speck of anything different. God's love is beautifully pure. It's amazing, and it transforms situations. I can testify to this, guys, that God's love has the power to restore broken situations. And so I pray and I speak over everybody listening under the sound of my voice right now. Every situation that needs restoration, every situation that needs redemption, that God will visit that situation in the mighty name of Jesus. His perfect love will invade the spaces that need to be invaded in the mighty name of Jesus. And there will be a complete turnaround. There will be a complete transformation. And there will be a testimony at the end of it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So yeah, that is it for this episode, guys. I really am happy to be back. So join me in another episode and let's talk love, life, and Jesus. Signing out, Daddy's little girl.